A large, shallow lake of water was discovered under an ice cap on Mars. The discovery was announced this week by the European Space Agency. Finding the 12-mile-wide lake on the red planet is the first significant discovery of liquid water on a planet that seemed more like Earth's desert cousin over the years. And there's been a renewed excitement for exploring Mars and potentially finding life on the planet. Our next guest is here to talk about the significance of the discovery and what it might mean for research and the search for life on other planets, including Venus. Sanjay Lemaye is a senior scientist at the Space Science and Engineering Center in the College of Letters and Sciences at the UW-Madison. Sanjay, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, first of all, what was your reaction to this news, this satellite data showing salty, cold water underground on Mars?
Well, it was exciting because, we have suspected presence of water on Mars, liquid water, for several decades. And I'm familiar with this mission because its sister spacecraft is called Venus Express, and it was orbiting around Venus for a long time. Mars Express was launched before Venus Express, but it's still going on. And Venus Express, unfortunately, dived into the atmosphere three and a half years ago. But the basic premise that Mars must have had liquid water in its past was known for a long time from the surface and from all the rovers, like the Sojourner rover that was a big hit, one of the first rovers. Viking landers had landed there before, so we knew Mars had liquid water in its past. Radar observations from Earth had suggested subsurface pockets of water, but they were not confirmed. Ice underneath, mixed in with dirt and all the other minerals below the surface, was also discovered by the same spacecraft, Mars Express, using the radar. But this is the first discovery of liquid water about a mile below the surface near the South Polar Cap. And so that is significant.
And why are we so interested in finding liquid water on another planet, on Mars in particular?
Well, as most people are probably aware, water is essential for life as we know it. And I want to emphasize life as we know it. Mm-hmm. Because later on, I might mention something where there could be life without presence of water. And so the mantra for exploring Mars has been follow the water to see, because on Earth, wherever there is liquid water, we find life. And if that is true universally, all across the solar system and even beyond, to planets around other stars, if you have liquid water, then there is the possibility of life. Is it really there? So that's the main reason that you ultimately want to answer the question, are we alone or is there life elsewhere in the universe? Now, when I say life, it's not necessarily intelligent life, but just any living organism.
A bacteria or something like that.
Precisely.
Something tiny.
And a few months ago, late March, we actually published a paper restating an older idea put forth by Morowitz and Sagan 50 years ago that life could exist in the clouds of Venus, because Venus also had liquid water in the past. And so now the question is, where would be easiest to find life? And I would claim that it's much easier to find life on Venus than it is on Mars.
Really? So if we can find life on Mars, then maybe the odds go up for Venus too.
Yes, but it's a question of resources. You know, for Mars, exploring Mars, European Space Agency, Russia, and the United States has spent huge amounts of money. Mars has a dedicated program. It's a line item in NASA's budget. For Venus, there isn't any such line item. It's a competitive program which has made it impossible for us to get to Venus on a NASA mission. The last mission to Venus was in 1985. But if you talk about discovering life, you know, forget about the money or the amount of effort or the number of missions. As I said, this lake, this liquid water, it's not very huge. It's only maybe 15 miles across, and it's only maybe a few inches deep. It's not like Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's not like Lake Vostok. But it's a mile deep. How are we going to dig through 1 mile under the surface of Mars, send equipment or bring up sample, analyze it, and bring it back? And then don't forget, there's a planetary protection protocol by an international agreement all missions, all agencies need to protect both against forward contamination and backward contamination. That is, we cannot bring life to another planet, nor bring life back from another planet to Earth without guarantees that we are not going to destroy ecosystems.
Well, and I wonder, you know, if, and this is a huge if there's some form of life in this unique condition, this frigid, sub-freezing water, very salty water, deep underground, could it be so fragile that exposing it to other elements by digging into it could damage it?
Absolutely. I think that's always a problem, even on Earth, when you're, trying to bring up species like the black smokers, for example, underneath the ocean, at the bottom of the deepest trenches, where are these smoke volcanic plumes coming out. There's life there, different kind of life. But for Mars, there are other questions. I mean, just because we have life, we haven't solved other problems. Where's the energy coming from? What are the nutrients available there? Because there's clearly no sunlight. So any life would need some form of energy. Now, Mars is a dead planet. It doesn't have active volcanoes. It's not like Earth, where at the bottom of the ocean, you have heat and other nutrients coming into the picture. So on Mars, the story is unclear. On Venus, you don't have to search where to dig, because life could exist in the clouds of Venus. And then sampling is easy, just fly through clouds. I mean, on Earth, we find life in all the clouds that we have sampled, pretty much, all the way up to 25 miles up, 41 kilometers. So we know life is tenacious and it can exist. If I'm talking about Venus, it's because I've been passionately working on Venus and I've been leading the Venus exploration group for NASA in the past and working now with the Russians on their collaborative mission with NASA to go to Venus called Venera D. We hope it launches sometime in the 2020s. And one of the objectives would be to search for signatures of life. And it would be easy because for Venus, there is no planetary protection protocol. So in terms of cost, it costs millions of euros or dollars to clean a spacecraft. And we've just learned that you can't really clean a spacecraft because there are bacteria which thrive on the solvents or the material chemicals used to clean the spacecraft. That we have just discovered in the last few months.
Staying with Venus for a moment, I was at American Players Theater yesterday and looked up at the moon, and I saw this dot over here that people tell me is Venus, right? It's looking at us right now.
In the evening sky, it's the bright star, and that would be Venus. And of course, Mars is also visible in the sky right now, and we are just getting to the period when Mars would be very bright in the sky.
Almost. Now, you're excited about Venus. You look up in the sky and see it there, and do you think, I could see it with my naked eye. We're so close, but so far off in being able to try to get the samples you're looking for.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, actually. Venus has been crucial in our exploration of the solar system. I mean, it's about 250 years ago when Mikhail Lomonosov from St. Petersburg made the first planetary discovery that Venus has an atmosphere. Until that time, we didn't know what other planets were like. I mean, we know the gas giants. By that time, we knew, based on their densities, that they were not like Earth, that they were not rocky planets. They were gaseous planets because they're mostly full of hydrogen and helium. But Venus and Mars were different. But the discovery that Venus has an atmosphere is the first discovery in planetary science. And then the first successful planetary spacecraft beyond the moon was Mariner 2 in 1962. It went to Venus. So Venus has played a very crucial role in the development of planetary science. And now I think it might play the same role for discovery of life.
It's a good place to leave it, Sanjay. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Sanjay Lamaye is a senior scientist at the Space Science and Engineering Center in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Madison. He joined us today to talk about the discovery of a large, shallow lake of water under an ice cap on Mars and what it might mean for the future of planetary research.